So, hey, wow. Long time no hear, Neil. So we are back with an episode of All Consumed. I don't think we need to spend too much time on what we haven't been doing. Mm-hmm. But let's maybe focus a little bit on what we have been doing. And first of all, we've just had a great meal. Neil, where are we?
Excuse me. We are at the Orange Buffalo. We are just off Brick Lane. The truck is back. The boys are back. The wings are back. Something that makes us both very happy.
Yeah, very happy indeed for a few reasons. One, they've been closed for a while, so they're back on the here off of Brick Lane behind the Truman Brewery. And that's fantastic because it's some of the best food in London, definitely some of the best street food, and something I've missed since they've been around.
Plus, they're really nice guys. Plus, I mean, I've said, if you flick back through some of the stuff we've done, we did have a wing special 4 years ago.
When we were keeping this podcast alive, which is now actually, it's a pretty old podcast. We were doing some content based on going out to Buffalo with Orange Buffalo, who make American-style, New York-style buffalo wings here in London, and it's as good as the real deal and better than a lot of
it really was. Others. I think they were robbed. I think they deserved more than the participation trophy they got. Okay. I think it was political.
They're certainly popular.
They were very, very popular.
We even got roped in to help them toss their wings, which was fun to do. But another reason why we're happy is because we're just sitting out here enjoying ourselves. Probably hear a little bit of background noise, lots of people floating around enjoying their thing. What do you think about being out here?
It's great. Well, it's great.
Somewhat sunny day.
Excuse me. Apparently I'm allergic to wings. It's not quite as happy. So I think one of the things we're trying to do now is talk about things that have made us happy.
Yeah, okay.
Which I think is a nice positive thing to come back to. And on the subject, things that have made me happy. It's spring.
Yeah.
This is spring. It feels like spring. It feels like this month in particular has felt like the proper start of life again in London. Whether that's, I mean, we may be being stupid and in a post-COVID, still a COVID world.
Yeah.
Whether we're being sensible or not, I don't know. But people are out. There's a really nice vibe here. There's a really nice atmosphere. All the street food stalls are doing really well. There's a massive coffee festival going on to our right. It's record store day. There's queues outside of Rough Trade. London's living again.
Yeah, it just feels like it right now. Yeah,
there's a really nice. There's a nice energy everywhere at the moment. In spite of, there's a lot of shit going on.
That's
it feels
true.
Like we're all kind of pulling back together.
But at least there's access to vitamin D.
Vitamin D and vitamin OB.
Good.
So, what's made you happy?
Oh, my goodness. You're happy about spring. I'm happy about breaking my curse. I tried to travel a good bit last year, and most of that failed. Flights canceled, stuff like that. On my way to the airport, on the tube, getting an email, your flight's been canceled,
it was a hell of a run.
It was a lot of bad luck, and part of that was celebrating a really big birthday. Part of that was bucket list kind of destination, a lot of things like that. Just nope, never mind. So it's actually made me a little neurotic about travel, which for someone who spent about 15 years doing that as a living, it was a terrible feeling. But I broke the curse recently, and post-COVID, I'm actually out there traveling a good bit. And I've been able to go to a couple of my favorite actual cities, revisit some places. And one of those is Basel, Switzerland, which I don't know, a lot of people, it might be off the radar for some people.
I think everyone kind of, Zurich and Geneva kind of, and anything skiing.
Yeah. Maybe if you're in the art world, it resonates a little more because there's a huge art festival there. But I was actually there just to enjoy the city itself. A couple of things that I like about it, it's this really nice mix of old and new. So you got a good core of medieval architecture in the city center and a lot of ancient stuff, but also very contemporary modern buildings. Really renowned architects have done some amazing work there. And one of the things that sort of connects it to the past is these river ferries. So Basel's on the Rhine. You got these huge bluffs on one side, and they've got these ferries that, well, they got like these sort of zip lines crossing the river, and these ferries attached to these cables. Okay. And just by moving the rudder, it'll go to one bank or the other. And they still operate this as public transportation.
Nice.
And, you know, it's a bit of a tourist thing now, but it's just fun to do. So that was one thing I really loved about the city. Just great bakery and coffee culture there. Bakery Colt, Colt with a K, is a great place where I had a mortadella bagel, which... it was worth mentioning.
It's one of the great ironies of life, being married to somebody Jewish. We'll often talk about it's just how great a vehicle bagels are for pork based sandwiches. Wow. It's an irony I will never tire of. It is the perfect vehicle for bacon. It is the perfect vehicle for everything pork based. And yeah,
well, that works. It was great. Yeah. And just going to some art galleries and museums, particularly the Foundation Baylor, which is one of, I think, the great modern art collections, if not in the world, definitely in Europe. And just great to see that. There was a Wayne Theobald collection. He's an American artist. That was on exhibition. Neorealism, beautiful stuff. I didn't know much about him, but it was a joy to see, along with sort of Picasso's and Matisse and Van Gogh's there in the flesh, so to speak. And speaking of museums, another place I've been a few times, I think every time I've been to Basel, is the Vitra Design Museum. Vitra is famous for furniture from big names like Frank Gehry, Ray and Charles Ames, Herman Miller. A lot of big names, okay? They produce them today, and they've got this museum. Kind of just a really nice place to look at chairs. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a rarefied, highfalutin IKEA in some ways, but I love going there and just seeing design and seeing how things have transformed and what's mm-hmm. a mainstay. A chair that was used in the 1940s is still out there today because it's just so practical and attractive. And technically, the Vitra Museum is just across the border in Germany in Wiel am Rhein. It's essentially Basel. Yeah. It's part of your Basel tourist package, so to speak. Yeah. But that's me. So I was looking at cool stuff. Neil, you mentioned that it's International Record Store Day.
It is. Yeah.
And you were talking to me about vinyl.
Yes. I do have a record player. I did, you know, for my 50th, I treated myself to a really nice little Cambridge Audio box of tricks, bought a turntable, brought all the vinyl out from storage, and realized over the years I'd replaced quite a lot of my vinyl on CD, which meant all the things I listened to a lot and all the really great albums I've replaced on CD and got rid of the vinyl. So the vinyl that was left was really quite crap.
Okay, yeah.
And quite embarrassing. So I haven't quite picked up on the vinyl thing as much as I might have done otherwise. Then obviously Angela, my wife, came along with her, the remains of her vinyl collection, just sort of slotted in things like David Bowie and all these sort of great albums, you know. Oh man, you've got the cool records. I've got Five Star and Rick Astley. Nothing against Rick. He's a very nice man. But yeah, mine was very 80s, very...
You can't give that one up.
Yeah. But I really can't. I'm never gonna give that up. But there are a couple of massive gaps in my record collection and music knowledge, really. Because I'm aware of the existence of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah, that's a big one, yeah.
Didn't own a copy. And not just because of Stranger Things and running up that hill, I also did not have a copy of Kate Bush, Hounds of Love.
Okay.
So,
no, you didn't.
Filled those gaps, and they've both been pretty much, particularly Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
As we were saying earlier, so it could have been recorded.
It holds up really well. This is the 50th anniversary of both of those albums. Definitely Dark Side of the Moon, yeah.
Yeah. Kate Bush, at some point in the 80s, I was at sixth form, so I remember it coming out.
Okay.
So that'd be, what, 80, about 86? 80, between 84 and 86, okay. Somewhere around there. But it's still, again, still best part of 40 years old, which is quite remarkable.
Yeah. Older than most of the people around us right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Right, I dare to say.
Yeah. Absolutely. Some of whom were probably ironically wearing Pink Floyd t-shirts, but there we go. Yeah.
They might have been conceived to either one of those albums.
Running up that hill. All right, what a great thing to be conceived to. But no, so yes, so,
of the two, Desert Island, which one would you?
Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd. Okay, yeah.
Absolutely, Pink Floyd.
Yeah, it's a great album.
It is astonishing. It's been virtually on repeat in the CD player while I've been working at home.
Okay.
It's something you can actually actively listen to, but it's also something you can just kind of sort of sit quite happily in the background.
Have you ever done the Dark Side of the Moon, Wizard of Oz thing?
Is that a thing? I know it's meant to be a thing, but I've never
done it, but I've heard it's really fun. Yeah. Apparently you sync it up and it makes a lot of sense as a soundtrack to the movie.
One day.
Yeah, one day. I should try that, yeah.
One day.
Well,
So where else have you been?
Yeah, well, something I've seen even older than Pink Floyd is something called the Lion Man or the Lowenmensch, which is a really ancient work of art that I forget how, but it got in my mind. I heard about it and I had to see it. And it's see if I get this right. It's about 40,000 years old. It's a carving made out of a piece of a mammoth tusk. And it's in the shape, it's got like a human body, but a lion's head. And as far as the people who know about these things can tell, it is the oldest known piece of anthropomorphic art. Arguably the oldest piece of figurative art. There's some, definition, semantic stuff there going on. And it's the largest known sculpture from the Ice Age, at least the largest ever found from the Ice Age. And it was found in these caves back in the 30s in southern Germany, but then World War II started and just got left there, kind of. But it's recently been found with other parts.
We've just cleared out a garage. We know
fairly
that.
Recently. We know that happens. I certainly know how that happens, yeah. And so it's... it's in the state of, what is it? I always get hung up on this word. Baden-Württemberg, in the city called Ulm, which is actually a nice city. Again, kind of off the tourist radar, but no reason it should be. And it's in the Museum of Ulm, the Ulm Museum there. And like I said, it's about a foot long. And just seeing this thing, just for me, it was fascinating, this connection. Like, found in a cave, somebody, some caveman, some Ice Age dude, or presumably, had the time and the imagination to carve this thing out of a mammoth tusk. That is there for you to see, the price of a relatively reasonable price to get into the museum. And in and of itself, the museum was great, but obviously that was
I think stuff like that is amazing, and it's really good and really important with a lot of these things. Is to take that step back.
And I mean, when I don't know, a lot of people just be like, "Oh, that's neat," but for me, it should be up there with like King Tut stuff the Rosetta Stone and Stonehenge. I think
we've said before. I mean, one of my overwhelming memories of outside art galleries and things that I've been to in the last three, 4 years, or just pre COVID, in New York. So walking around the Met, and you would see people go up to the famous works of art, have their photo taken by it, doing the kind of the little V finger thing, and not even looking at the thing.
And then move on.
And it's like, I've got this, or somebody's recorded it on their iPhone or their iPad or camera or whatever. So look at the fucking painting.
And think about what had to be done for it to get there.
And how that's lasted however many hundreds of years or whatever it may be. Why it's a work of art, the thought, the process that went into it. As you say, nothing's there in isolation. You've got to kind of stop them and look at these things.
So it's
not
really
just
great.
Take it off as a tourist thing. I think it's fascinating. It's a really interesting story.
Yeah. And it was just nice. I just went to Ulm for this work of art, the Lion Man, but it ended up being a great destination in and of itself. Beautiful, what's called the Fisherman's Quarter, medieval section of the town, right along the Danube, with lots of really amazing, this was just a city wall along the river. You can walk along it for miles. Lovely way to spend a morning. And one of the older buildings in the and the Fisherman's Quarters, the forgive me if I'm pronouncing this wrong, the Schiffer's House, which I think means crooked. It's this old timber frame building that looks like if you touch it, it's going to fall apart. It's actually a hotel. Inside the rooms are, you know, all mod cons. And I stayed there, and it was really lovely. And it's actually in the Guinness Book of Records as the most crooked hotel in the world. But had a good night's sleep there. They actually had like a little spirit level on the bed to show you that it was level.
Nice.
And it was neat. Yeah, but just great off the beaten track destination. At least if you're not German. It seems like maybe for the rest of the world, nobody knows.
Yeah, that's quite. So also, I like the fact you go off and do stuff like this. I think it's really great.
It's one of those things that I was like, wait, I can go see that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Getting there was a little difficult, okay? There's no airport that was convenient for me anyway, which is part of the reason I went to Basel. I made a trip out of it, and I also went to a better known historic city, that's Baden-Baden, which is famous since Roman days for its thermal baths.
Yeah, so good they named it twice.
Yeah. So good they named it twice. And there's actually two famous baths there. And one is Friedrichsbad, which is sort of this beautiful bell building. And you do like the classic, take your clothes off. Here's where you sweat for 5 minutes. Here's where you get really cold. For did all that. And that was fun. But the other the other spa, Caracalla, is a little more modern. And you can keep your clothes on. It's for family. And just swimming in from the indoor pool to the outdoor pool. And
nice.
And then like hanging out in the hot tubs and the jacuzzis, even though it was like rainy outside, and just I loved it. Yeah, it's so nice. I did go there twice. Okay, so I had a Baden-Baden experience in Baden-Baden, and it was just a great place to relax. Good base for going to like Ulm, but also the historic town of Heidelberg. Really good base. I'd recommend it. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, you're doing such wonderful cultural things, and I'm going about it's spring.
Well, that's all right, man.
And we've had winds. But
No. You know what? High on the list are these.
Well, nice. It's good. No, the traveling stuff is back. So we've got a couple of big trips coming up. Getting very excited about.
All right. Well, next episode, maybe.
No. You never know. You never know. All we will get there. Yeah. So maybe. Dialing in remotely. Maybe I'll have to do that at some point.
We could do that.
So, but on the subject, I would say, actually, on a vaguely cultural connection, so one other thing that has made me very happy over the last few months, somebody recommended Shox headphones. So, these little bone conducting headphones. There's Shokz. So, yeah. Hate the spelling, love the product. So, the joy of them is you can wear them in public and still hear all the background noise. You can still hear street noises. You can hear station announcements. You can hear anything that's going on. You can hear somebody running up to perhaps nick your Shox headphones that you're wearing. What I found is I now find myself listening to more music on the train. I'm watching more TV things on the train. Listening to a lot more podcasts. Podcasts are great. We should do one.
Yeah, I agree, man.
And it's just been... I hate to use the word life-changing, but it is a little bit life-changing. And it seems odd that just this, I don't know, little bit of technology you wrap around the back of your head can really improve your day on a regular basis.
I completely agree with you, man.
So that's been, I've got to say, that's another one. That's another life-affirming moment.
Okay.
And you're going to talk about more travels.
Yes.
And more places beginning with B.
Very life. Yeah, another B city. Bilbao, which would be the other city that I really love, okay? Been there a couple times before. And what brought me there this time was more art, okay? So if you've never been, have you ever been to Bilbao?
I haven't. No, I'm very, very jealous of this one.
Well, go for the Guggenheim and stay for the food, okay? Or vice versa. Either way, you're going to have a great time. But it's famous for its Guggenheim Museum. Just worth seeing by itself. Really unique design by... Frank Gehry, but inside it for the time being was an exhibition of Jean Miró's major works. Okay, sort of. It's called Absolute Reality, Paris, 1920 to 1945. So it's like the big stuff, the things you'd want to see in an exhibition of Miro's work. And I'm a fan. I'm not quite sure why, but it's always resonated with me since I was young and I just happened upon an exhibition.
That was something I was taught as an art school, an art teacher friend. I was given a company I used to work for, sponsored of artists. I was given a book of one of these artists' work. And I remember showing it to him. And I said, well, I'm not sure I understand it. And I said, but you know, maybe you can. He said, no, it's not a case of. So it's not a case of understanding. It is a case of emotional response.
Yeah.
So that if you respond to anything at any level, just like it and can't explain why, doesn't matter. It's done its job. That's the important thing.
And I just think they're fun to look at. Mm-hmm. And I just value that someone was able to just get these abstractions on canvas. I love it. Anyway. But while I was there, I had to eat. And if you, the other thing that Bilbao is really famous for is tapas bars, mm-hmm. okay? Pinchos bars, Basque Country City. I mean, I think San Sebastian gets all the glory, but I think you can eat just as well, and maybe with fewer tourists in Bilbao.
Okay.
And I could go through, I went to a number. And the great thing is, I went there by, so the Switzerland and Germany trip was with my girlfriend. We had a wonderful time. Particularly Baden-Baden, a very romantic city, very nice place to go as a couple. I went to Bilbao by myself, and I realized it's a really good destination for solo travel. And part of the reason is you got all these bars where you can just walk up, order one or two tapas and maybe a drink, and then move on. And you can, if you're full, that's great. Otherwise, within like a very short walk, there's going to be another place, possibly world famous for its particular tapas. So you can just sort of graze through the city and a great street life there. If I just had to mention one, though, it's a tapas bar called Boster in the Casco Viejo, so the old town.
Okay.
And I had a calamares in a spicy mayonnaise sandwich with some vermouth, and it was just a really great lunch. Okay.
Nice.
And one more meal, if I could, please. That was amazing. This was a tapas bar. It's actually
we have
highly rated steakhouse. Okay, called Amaron. And I had a Galician sirloin that was really one of the best steaks I've ever had. Relatively reasonably priced. I think it was like around 30 euro for a very nice steak. And just a really nice experience. I just walked by it. It was off my radar. But come to find out, it's very highly rated and holds its own against the great steakhouses of London, New York, Sydney, wherever. So
I think the rise of Galician beef is a very, very good thing. There's a couple of places. I know Goodman is starting to sell it here. I know Sagardi, just around the corner from where we are, has a lot of great aged, cattle, or beef from seriously aged cattle, not necessarily aged beef. But it's glorious stuff. Proper celebration of a cow's life.
Yeah, absolutely. You feel like, I don't know. I think that's, if you're going to have a steak, that's how you do it.
Well, I'm on the subject of food. I mean, I know one dinner we managed to squeeze in together this year when we got to Ekstedt at the Yard. Lots of flame grilled food.
Yeah.
So, as an extension of that, I thought that was very exciting. It's a really sort of touch behind kind of Whitehall Embankment and Trafalgar Square. It's a very unlikely place to find a hotel and very unlikely place to find a restaurant cooking over so much fire.
It was a great meal,
But a really great meal. But on a similar vein, I recently went to a restaurant called Humo, just taken over from the old Wild Honey site in Mayfair. I did mean to write down the chef's name. I am going to apologize. I will add it to the social media. A quite astonishing meal, cooked over all sorts of different types of flame. They've taken things like a really old whiskey barrel, cut up the staves. So the scallop dish they cook over a particular piece of wood taken from this aged whiskey barrel. So it kind of releases, I guess, the culinary equivalent of the devil's cut. So you get a little of the kind of the sugars and the vanilla and everything else is just kind of coming out of the wood just to infuse the scallop.
Wow.
They did the flambadeau thing like we had at Exeter with the cooking with the beef tallow.
Uh-huh.
They do a little bit of native lobster finish with beef fat. If you go, try and sit at the counter, and you can watch everything. Exeter's great. Humo actually puts the fire kind of front and center, and you can watch everyone kind of interacting with these flames and shelves at different levels and different types of smoke and stuff. An astonishing experience. I'm going to say if they carry on at the standards they're already at, I would suggest Michelin star by this time next year.
Very new.
Very, very new. Now, opened 2-3 months ago.
All right.
But astonishing.
Very nice.
Really, really great meal. So, yeah, so that made me, also made me very, very happy.
Good, good, good. So, that's a lot of fun stuff there.
I think we're good. I think, we've covered a lot of it.
So you mentioned social media. Everything I mention is going to be on either my blog and something. I've actually started, like, really blogging again, so that's kind of exciting. Yeah, and that's tikichris.com. Or on my Instagram, which is my name, Chris Osburn, O-S-B-U-R-N. And Neil, how can people...
You can generally track me down on the bin fire that is Twitter these days.
On there less and less these days.
Yeah, less and less. Dine Hard. Same for Instagram, which is probably where most of that is posted. I am vaguely on TikTok in and out, but...
All right. As Dine Hard.
I don't really understand it. I feel quite old.
As Dine Hard.
As Dine, I believe it's Dine _ Hard.
Oh.
As somebody else at Nick Dinehard. Swines.
Right,
Maybe that's why I'm anti-TikTok.
There you go.
I think that could be it. Okay. Yeah, so, and I guess we've got to talk about the music.
Yeah, okay. So what was playing as we started and what we're going to fade out to is
Thunderous Now.
The Year Was Strange by E-Nub. And that's I-I-N-U-B. All right. Thanks, Neil. That was fun.
Always a pleasure, sir. Always a pleasure.